Hi there, it's Landon.
And it's Monique.
And we are coming to you
from a very remote hospital, really, isn't it?
Port Hardy, British Columbia.
Yeah.
Which is a beautiful place to come to, but not right now.
Yes, we're trying to keep them COVID-free because they have not had a case here.
But if you like fishing,
yeah.
Once COVID is a little more in control,
yeah,
this is the best place in the world to fish.
Yeah,
so beautiful. Come to Port Hardy. They would love to see you here, but exactly. We are here teaching, completely COVID-safe teaching, which adds a new layer of complexity when everyone's wearing masks and things, and you don't really know what the looks on people's faces are. But speaking of masks, Monique.
Yes.
I feel like, funny thing, Monique and I are physically distant, staying in the same place. We haven't actually seen each other for 7 months. We're now physically distant, staying in the same place, to the point that she feels that she may talk so loud on our podcast that she may become aerosolizing, generating. And so we're actually in different rooms talking on Zoom and recording ourselves because she's scared that talking 10 feet across the table, that just might be too much. So,
well, our prime minister did say we're supposed to avoid speaking moistly.
That is true.
So, was
that our prime minister who said that?
Yes, it was.
Well, here we go. So the topic today.
And we have to be clear, it's an opinion.
This is an opinion piece. Because, well, you know what? The rest of the world has an opinion on COVID and things right now. So why can't we?
Exactly.
But we have an opinion that's kind of based on science, I guess.
Well, I hope most of our opinions are here.
Unlike many people in the rest of the world, our opinion is based on science. So what do you want to talk about today, Monique?
Well, I think we wanted to talk about masks because we were both talking about how we just did an entire day wearing our mask all day. And when we stopped to grab some groceries, or not groceries, actually, we just forgot milk for my tea.
Because full disclosure, Monique was so scared of taking the groceries out of this small community. She cooked food and we have actually not impacted this community whatsoever. She even brought her own half-drank bottle of wine so that we didn't even have to go to the liquor store. But we did need 250 mils of milk for her tea. So that is all we have impacted this community. You noticed that
nobody was wearing a mask except for the people who worked in the shop. And that made, because Land and I clearly are nerdy. So Port Hardy is about an hour and a half ferry ride from Vancouver. And then it's about a 4-hour drive. So on our 4-hour drive, we had, of course, are very nerdy and talk all things science. And we had already been talking about masks. And then because today we wore masks all day, and then when we stopped to pick up milk, we noticed that in the community that they weren't wearing masks, that we both kind of thought it would be an interesting opinion piece to talk about what our opinions are about masks wearing. And as Landon said, our opinion is based on science, but perhaps you want to talk a little bit about some of the research around it, Landon. What do you think?
And so this is funny because, and you know, Facebook post du jour will quote a lot of things around, well, the research around masks hasn't really shown it's effective, and the research around this. And I find it funny, those people, because it's like, you know what? Okay. What kind of silly randomized controlled trial is that? Ooh, I'm doing my PhD and my randomized controlled trial is whether someone wears a mask or not. Like, nobody wants to stake their PhD on a piece of paper on someone's face. Yeah. So it's just research that's never going to happen. And as well, for me, I kind of want these smart people right now researching a vaccine so that I can hug a friend again. And if they're worried about focusing on researching a vaccine, you know what? I'm quite okay that you're not researching whether a mask is effective and the research doesn't show it. That is a waste of time research, in my opinion. Let's be honest. since the whatever Florence Nightingale times, they discovered that, oh, look, when I like spew my spit in a surgical field, yeah, people get sick and die. So let me put a piece of paper or cloth between my surgical field and look, they don't get as sick. Like, okay, the research was done in 18, whatever, whatever. Mm-hmm. So let's be honest, the research doesn't need to happen.
No, it's common sense, really. And really, that whole thing that we used to say, coughs and sneezes spread diseases, catch them in your handkerchiefs.
Like, never said that because I spoke French, but I'm sure that's what you English people said.
Well, it's actually probably based on Florence Nightingale at that time, right? And the plague and all that sort of stuff. And I think that when you look historically at mask wearing, you know, medical staff did not ever wear masks and the risks of infection went up. And so now it's become almost commonplace. I mean, you would never see a surgeon not wearing a mask for a surgery. You would never see us going into an immunocompromised room without wearing a mask. And I think as we look at research and how diseases are spread, we understand airborne precautions. And I would never see somebody at work not taking those precautions if we knew what disease process is going on. So perhaps we haven't done a specific research on, well, let's give those people with positive COVID, let them go out and half of you will interact with them without a mask on and half of you will interact with them with a mask, you know, on and we'll or not on, and we'll see which one of you actually gets sick and die. Because that's an ethical kind of research project.
I'm sure that will get ethics approval. I'm sure.
For sure it will.
That's your PhD, mate.
I think is the wrong question, because a lot of people say, are masks preventing the virus, 100% preventing the virus from going from one person to another? Well, that's a silly question to ask. I think we're talking about risk mitigation. Can we decrease the risk of community transmission, not just with physical distancing, but also with mask wearing? Can we do both of those things? Right. Or if we can do physical distance, great. If we can't, at least put a mask on, face the other way so you're not breathing on somebody, that sort of thing. Do you remember when, well, you don't because you were an only child, but I remember as a little kid when you were all sitting in the back seat with your siblings and, you know, you'd say, Mom, she's touching me, or Mom, she's breathing on me. Like, it was so silly, but it is true.
I don't remember that. I was too busy crying that I was alone.
Oh, stop it. But it is, it is something that it's difficult to mitigate. And we have to really think about, let's just decrease the risk. And if this decreases the risk, is that better? And I think you and I were talking, Landon, if I went in to see an oncologist and they said to me, listen, you have whatever cancer, chemotherapy works, the risk of, or the, you know, you can improve your outcome or it is curable by 70%. And I'm going to say, you know what, unless it's 100%, I'm not going to do chemotherapy. Now, it is my right to make that decision, I guess, but who in their right mind would not say 70%? You know, that's pretty good. I think I'm going to go for it. I think we all kind of would say that. And it'll be interesting to see in this vaccine whether we're going to be more comfortable with, hey, if it works 70% of the time, are we still going to take it? And that's going to be a conversation that we say at the end. But that's another podcast. And
I was going to say, that's another opinion piece.
Yeah, it is. And for right now, I think what we're saying is that there's some research out there. There's poor research. A lot of it is looking at the types of masks and how much spray it actually will contain. And I think that's, you know, something that we can look at in the future. But as you said, at this moment in time, I'd rather we spend time on looking at how we can treat this effectively and then try to get a vaccine. I don't want to put all my eggs into the vaccine bucket. I just want to say, can we get good meds to be able to treat it well? And can we also look for a vaccine rather than spend time looking at masks? Because I think that's a low, it's not really a something I want to spend our time on.
Right. So yeah. Let's talk about the general public then. Like in hospital, I don't think I don't think anyone's not going to wear a mask if it's offered to them. And I understand many of our colleagues around the world are working in environments where there is inadequate or no PPE. And it, you know, where I think, you know, to pump up the Canadian healthcare system and our Canadian government, they've basically spent the last 6 or 7 months focusing almost solely on securing a PPE supply for healthcare workers for our country. And for that, we're very thankful. And I appreciate that there are some people that PPE is a luxury, not a standard. But if we talk about the public a little bit, I think there are some gaps in how we handle it with the public. And I feel like that some of those gaps actually have some potential to be risky areas. And so, you know, like do you wear a mask outside, Monique?
So this is very interesting. I do, if I'm walking to work on a path that there's very few people, and I can be physically distanced from somebody if I'm passing them. Like, we have a lot of quiet streets where there's little traffic. So if I see someone on a sidewalk, I'll go out into the middle of the sidewalk. I won't wear a mask in that scenario, because the science actually says the risk of transmitting in those scenarios outdoors is very, very low. So I do not wear a mask. The minute I go into an area that's a enclosed space, in some of the shops, mostly in the shops, like the grocery stores or to the drugstore or whatever, I will put a mask on, because the risk that I won't be able to physically distance is a little bit higher. So I will wear a mask in those circumstances. What about you?
So I live in a different community than you, obviously. Yeah. And so I live rurally, and to see people is pretty rare. And even if we do see neighbors or whatever, it's pretty easy to stand across the dirt road. So I would say that I'm probably on a different end of the spectrum, in that I very rarely wear a mask, because I'm just nowhere that, you know, our public health recommendation, because not all of you are from here, is a mask is recommended when you cannot maintain physical distancing. That is our public health recommendation. So I don't really go indoors. Obviously, you know, at work, in work environments, that's a different thing. Our ambulance service in this province, like, we walk in with silicone respirators and P100 respirators. So when I'm doing an ambulance call and I walk into a house, I look like I'm walking into a biocontainment zone. But and again, thankful that at least we overshot early on, and that's what we now wear. I think that for me, one of the issues I have with a mask is that once people get a mask on, it introduces some behavioral changes in people that I'm not sure are necessarily great. And so, you know, one of them is for me, it's the touching piece, and it bugs me. And I see people they've got the mask on, and then suddenly it's pulled down off their nose. Or it's on their chin, or it's up on their forehead. Or you see someone with a mask who's trying to do the right thing, and all they're doing is touching the outside of their mask, readjusting it like every 10 seconds.
Yeah.
And so for me, that's part of that's the gap in that. It's like, so masks, we know masks can't cause harm by themselves, because it can't cause COVID. It can catch COVID.
Yeah.
However, the gap there is you could then touch the outside of your mask and then touch your face and that kind of thing. So I think the gap there for me is I've obviously, like, neither of us have anything against mask wearing, except that it's uncomfortable at a day of work. But for me, it's that. So now these people have masks on, and all they're doing is touching their face constantly. And it's like, oh God. And I want to go up to some of them and go, oh my God, you'd be better without that. Stop touching it. Yeah. Hold your breath and run past people, because you're going to do better with that than touching that mask all the time. And so I feel like that's the next piece of public education that needs to happen, is the, okay, great. Now you all have masks. Why are you touching them?
Yeah.
When are you going to clean that?
Yeah. You're saying that it should go hand in hand with, you can please wear a mask,
but
don't touch it. Wash your hands often.
And I know that, you know, the research we do have around PPE use is the risky moment is doffing PPE.
Yes.
Very rare that you, well, you can't, you, it's impossible almost to contaminate yourself putting it on. You yes. can have breaches in it while you are in a containment zone. Yes. But we know full well that when you take it off is when you cross-contaminate yourself. So now we have a whole population that is doffing, like not washing hands, pulling their mask off, throwing it on the seat of their car, or stuffing it in their, bunching it up and stuffing it in their pocket. And it's like, you know, there's a dirty side to that and a clean side to that now, right?
Yeah.
If even if you put it in a paper bag, did you slide it in and out the same direction every time? Or did you slide it out one way and then flip it over? So now the clean side's touching the dirty side of the paper bag. And like, and yeah, it's complicated. Yeah. It is. And unfortunately, that's the downfall of this, is mm-hmm. there is a lot of education needed for proper donning and doffing of PPE, of which a mask is a piece of PPE. Oh, so, yeah. So that's my struggle with it, I guess, is, yeah. and that is research that, again, I don't necessarily need people to do to prove their point, because I'd rather the science people focus on the more important things.
Yeah.
It is like, what is the rate of contamination with this mask that people are bunching up in and out of their pockets? And we're lucky where we live in that, yes, our cases have risen exponentially, but it's not hundreds of thousands of people. And mm-hmm. so the risk that that person's actually putting a COVID infested mask in their pocket and touching it with their hands is still relatively low when we look across our population. So, whoa.
Also, you know what, Landon, the thing I think about, too, the thing I think about sometimes with that is that, you know, not one thing is going to make the difference. It's right. going to be a lot of different things
right.
in order to make a difference, right? It's kind of like in nursing. You shouldn't just look at one value and say, well, that's the one thing that's going to be an issue, right? Like, you don't want to just look at tachycardia. You want to say, well, how does that tachycardia fit into this whole clinical picture? And does the patient look unwell? Does their mat look unwell? What does their skin temperature look like? So for me, mask wearing, if you're only doing mask wearing, probably not enough. If you're also doing mask wearing, keeping your social bubble small, keeping a physical distance, washing your hands often, right? All of those things together is right. going to mitigate more and more risk, as opposed to, well, I don't have to do any of those things because I'm wearing a mask.
Well, and I know that was your point yesterday when we were talking, was mm-hmm. some people put a mask on and it's like they're wearing a body condom, right? And they're suddenly like going up close to each other and chatting loudly with each other because, well, now I've got a mask on. So I can obviously be like the olden days, 6 centimeters apart from you and talking loudly.
Yeah. And that's a problem. I think the thing that you and I talked about, that you kind of had said, I'd like you to talk about this a little bit, Monique. And I think that for me, I don't understand this resistance to wearing a mask. I because I think about perhaps in your small community, like we're here in Port Hardy, that's never had a COVID case. But I think when you sit back and think about the magnitude and the loss of lives, human lives around the world, and our brothers and sisters in healthcare that are still, some of them, struggling with caring for patients.
And many of whom have lost their lives.
Exactly. If I think about all of that, I look at the mask as a symbol of solidarity, remembrance, kind of like the poppy and Remembrance Day. Like, I may not have had anyone personally in my family that have lost their lives in the war or during the Holocaust, or maybe, you know, when they have the pink ribbon for breast cancer, maybe there's no one in my family that has had breast cancer. And yet I still put those on because it is a symbol of respect of those who have had lost their lives in those circumstances. And I'm showing solidarity to those folks. And so when I put on a mask, it is to protect myself or to protect others from me, keeping my bugs to myself, because I want to be part of the solution rather than be part of the problem. But it also, for me, I proudly put it on because I know that I have my friends and my family who are sacrificing, who have had lives lost because of COVID, that I want to show my solidarity, that I'm going to be with them in that circumstance. And I think about the racial inequalities right now and people who may not be victims of that, and yet they show their solidarity by going to these demonstrations and showing their support. So why can't you put on a mask to show your support for those people who have lost lives, who are still struggling with this? And we have the luxury, my God, we have the luxury in this country that that's an option, where there are people who would want to wear masks but don't have that option because they don't have masks available to them in some third world countries. So it's a bit...
Or some first world countries.
In some first world, that's true. And so it kind of breaks my heart a little bit when I hear this debate, when I know people who have sacrificed so much. And I think you would feel the same way, right? I mean, we know people who have had to sacrifice being with their families, or who've lost loved ones, or that sort of thing, and their fear and the anxiety. And I don't understand it. And these people who tell me, oh my gosh, it's uncomfortable, really? So it's uncomfortable. I wear it 8 hours. I wear it 10 hours a day, every day. And yeah, it's uncomfortable, but I do it because I'm proud to be serving. And if that's how I'm going to be able to serve my community, then I'm going to do it. So what if it's uncomfortable? You know, war was uncomfortable, but people had to sacrifice in order to protect me. And I wear poppy. Every year I would on a poppy and I remember them. September 11th just happened. And we remember the sacrifices and all those lives lost at that time. And that may not have happened to anyone of my family or any of my friends, but I still stand with solidarity with that combined grieving that the world has for such a cowardice act. So, you know, a mask for me is that badge. And it will always be, for me, the symbol of 2020. It'll be, I actually saw online all these Christmas decorations of Santa with a mask on, and it said 2020 on the mask. And I thought that that's a great remembrance of what it is that we are all wearing masks, right? That becomes a symbol of solidarity as we move forward. So I think that there is a science behind it, but I also think for me, it's even more of a science. It is that human community feeling about the whole thing. So I gladly put on my mask in public, as well as, it's not even a question in my hospital, but in public, I will absolutely do it. I think you and I also talked, and I think I will end my opinion by how I feel that as a healthcare professional, I have a double responsibility almost to role model the behavior, that I'm held to a different standard, and I have to role model the behavior that is grounded in science. And I'm willing to have that discussion with somebody on the street about it. And so I will continue to do that because I want to show that I'm behind the science. For me, it's kind of like, yeah, see me, I'm doing this because I believe in the science, and I'm going to be, again, part of the solution, so that I am with businesses who are trying to maintain their business license or keep people employed. And the only way they can do that is if we wear a mask. So I will do it. I will do it. I will do it every single time, because it isn't just about me. It's about the whole community at large. Gosh, maybe I should stop drinking wine, because I've become very...
Well, I'm sitting here. It's funny because you're in the next room, but I'm staring at you on a video, and I like actually don't have anything to say.
I know. It's emotional, isn't it?
It is. And it's
it is. It's emotional, and it should be, because I think I've never felt closer to that community of healthcare professionals than in any time in history than I do today. And so how do I reach out across the airwaves in our case? But what is it that connects all of us? And what is that symbol that connects all of us to this fight that we're continuing to fight in order for us to get to some new normal down the road. And for me, that's a mask. Mind you, mine is really pretty.
It's really pretty. It's got little flowers.
Very pretty with flowers on it, but it doesn't matter. It is, for me, both of those things. So I believe in the science, but I also believe that this is part of my civic duty and my community duty. And also, for me, it is a way that I connect to my brothers and sisters in the healthcare industry. All of them. That's what I do. And all essential workers everywhere. That's what I'm doing. And teachers and students as they come into classrooms, right? This is how we as a community show our support to one another so that we can have our lives move forward. So there you go.
Well, I think that's great. And I think we should end it there.
Yes.
I am going to catch one thing you said though.
Yeah.
You did mention that we're coming across on the airwaves and
oh dear.
Really, like, people ever since, like, I don't know, 1970 don't really listen to radio, and we're coming across the internet data stream, but that's fine. I'm going to let that one go because you're so passionate about doing your duty, and I'll just leave it there.
Well, you know what? I'm old, so keep wear a mask and protect this old gal here.
Oh, that was a gimme. I could have actually picked that one up too, but I didn't.
Easily.
Protect our elderly named Monique.
All right.
So we'll see you guys next month.
And yeah.
We hope you enjoyed our little opinion piece.
And please keep safe. And as our Dr. Bonnie Henry says, what does she say? Be kind.
Be calm.
Be calm.
And be safe.
Yes. And that's how we usually will end things at the moment. I think it's a lovely sentiment.
If you don't know Dr. Bonnie Henry, Google her. She is the most amazing public health officer you have ever met. And she's the reason that many of us are alive in our province and the entire province of British Columbia and almost the country of Canada has her to thank for a lot of her leadership, and we adore her.
Yes, we do.
Mother Bonnie.
All right.
Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.
For past episodes and to comment on this episode, please visit our website at nursem.org. That's NURSEM.ORG. You can follow us on Twitter at NURSEMcast and also find us on Facebook at NURSEM Podcast. We look forward to your comments and suggestions for future episodes. Remember, before incorporating anything new into your work, ensure you are supported by your own scope of practice, workplace policies, and your own knowledge and comfort. The NURSEM Podcast is brought to you by PRN Education, www.prneducation.ca.